How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Beginners to stage.
Hello everyone and welcome to this Backstage at Cry Havoc episode. Today we are talking about editing the show. Now, editing is a topic we've covered quite a lot in specials and behind the scenes things at Rusty Quill, so we thought we'd get specific with this one. Maybe take an angle that we haven't done before, which is to talk about perspective. And joining me to demystify this magic, because I actually know very little about it, are Katie Seaton and Kathy Ranella. Please, can you introduce yourselves with your pronouns and let us know what you do in relation to Rusty Quill and Cry Havoc? And we're going to go reverse alphabetically. Because that's how I'm feeling today. So, Katie, Please, can you go first?
Hello, my pronouns are she, her, and on Cry Havoc, I am the sound designer.
And hello, I am Kathy. My pronouns are she, her as well. And I am master at Rusty Quill, and I do the mastering, pre-mastering and mastering, actually, in this case, for Cry Havoc.
Hooray. Do you want to explain a little bit what like pre-master and master is? Because I'm not sure I'm completely clear, if I'm honest.
Yes, it's what I usually do for mastering is I review the full mix after vocal cut, sound effects, and music have all been put together and clean it up, fine-tune it, and get it ready for release. But in the case of Cry Havoc, because we have the wonderful Sam Jones, who is composing all of the music throughout the series, we actually have Katie doing the full sound effects mix and then sending it to me, which then I do a pre-master, which is I kind of fine-tune everything before music, and then we send that mix off to Sam. Sam then puts the scoring in, and then it comes back to me, and then I do fine-tuning after that. So on Cry Havoc, my job is a little twofold right now, so I apologize ahead of time if I get really confused between all the episodes, because usually I'll be working on like three different episodes all at the same time.
Yeah. I guess relevant to this topic that we're talking about, I am host, but also I do vocal cuts for Cry Havoc. So I guess that that might come up a bit. So it's relevant that I mention that as well. But to start us off on this topic, now then, what is perspective? What do I mean when I say we're going to do an episode on the topic perspective?
Perspective.
It's losing all meaning. I've said the word too many times.
Are we losing ours already? I feel like I should take the long. It is completely my fault that we're doing this topic, because it was my idea to focus on this.
Yeah, it was. It's a great idea.
Yes, definitely.
The reason I suggested this as a specific topic is because this is a large cast. Mm-hmm. With multiple characters, and it's not clear. I mean, I don't want to do too much about spoilers, but I think it's okay to say that it's not clear whose sympathies we should be with.
Mm.
You know, I find that my sympathies shift as we move through almost each episode, certainly throughout the arc of the whole season.
Yeah,
we're never sure whose side we're on, really. It becomes a little bit clearer as it goes on, but it's more, you know, it's more of an ensemble piece.
We have a lot of characters to share our focus with.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who could be our protagonists.
Yeah. So I think that's one part of the definition of perspective, is actually that thing, like where our sympathies lie and whose feelings we journey with as we go through it. But it's really tied up with the other side of perspective, which is the physical side. So that is whose ears we are hearing through, or whose mind we are looking through. And so what we do in post-production in this company, because we don't tend to record on location or block it out as we record, we tend to record mono mics separately and then do all the work in post-production to bring it to life and make it seem real. So what we're doing in our post-production is we are making these decisions along with Amani, the director, about who we're hearing through, you know, where we are looking from. And that is very much tied up with the psychology of where our sympathies lie at that point and what we want the audience to be visualising. And I'll go further to say that in audio drama, what we've got is kind of a combination of colourful, cinematic, high-impact kind of sound and the intimacy of sort of reading a book. The listener's imagination is very much in the driving seat. And so how we manipulate the listener's imagination of what the listener sees is a very big determiner of how people hear things.
Mm.
And so that's why perspective is really important, you know, and something you need to pay a lot of attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's difficult when everybody has their own way of imagining a scene, and all we can give to the listener are audio cue marks or audio signifiers as to what's going on and what's happening, because we don't have the luxury of camera angles changing where you can obviously see, like, okay, we're going to change to pan to this area so we can see this little thing happening in the background. We can zoom in and focus on this thing happening while other people are talking in the foreground to imply things. We don't have that advantage, so we have to be very careful about how we're crafting those scenes to achieve the things that Katie's been talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing that as like, whose head are we in? Whose ears are we hearing through? Whose eyes are we seeing through? Katie, were you about to continue off what Kathy was saying there?
Yeah, I was going to agree with Kathy and say, yeah, the difficulty lies in conveying detail and clarity. And that is the challenge, and that is where the camera has an advantage. But to offset that, in audio drama, what we can do is imaginative immersion, because we're not limited by what we can portray in a shot. And I think sound necessarily, like, for evolutionary reasons, I think our ears stay open at all times. Like, we don't have ear lids, to quote my friend Leslie in her book.
Sure.
And the reason for that is obviously we need to be alert to danger. Like, in the olden days, we need to be alert to danger, and our ears provide that information. And I think also, like, hearing is the first sense we get in the womb as well. So it's the first thing we notice about the world is what we hear of our...
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, of our mother's body and beyond. So hearing is like a really kind of like, it's a very psychologically deep sense.
Mm.
And so if you're kind of depriving people of what they can see, so they can't confirm what they're seeing, you're tapping into that sort of deeper, more like early experience or whatever. And so that in itself can be an advantage. So yeah, you have to be careful about like not putting in too much detail, which gets confusing. But also like there are things you can do in audio drama that you can't do in film for that reason.
I love this. We're getting deeper than I thought we were going to. This is excellent.
Yeah.
So how do you achieve that feeling of, right, we are with this person and I want this person to notice that thing that's happened over the other side of the room? Like, how do you go about doing that?
I think the ear really notices change and interruption. And so I think often if you've got continuous state of one kind of hearing and then something alters, like maybe suddenly something comes from a different direction, or that you do a very sharp change of atmosphere, so it's obvious you're in a different place. I think as a general rule, having sustained sounds and then interrupting them or changing them is something which makes the ear prick up.
Yeah, I think it comes from a lot of different directions. So you can go all the way back to the script, for example. Perspective is created by, as we've mentioned, figuring out which character we're following, and then having the stage directions of what's happening in the scene, what we hear off camera, what the character that we are following is reacting to. And then what action is happening around that character. So who's coming into the scene, who's leaving the scene, how we get from one location to the next. And that can get really tricky in an audio-only medium because you need to make sure you're leaving cues to the listener within the script for how we get from like one place to another.
Can I offer an example? Or
sure.
Are you...
No, go for it.
So episode 5 has just come out and the scenes that are sticking out to me that might be difficult to place perspective, it's when Charmian is walking through the streets and then ends up in the furniture shop.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear, my editing doesn't involve the perspective, right? This is what you two do. To me, I would think that would be quite difficult to convey. Like, you don't want that to be too busy, but you want to convey the movement of Charmian through the street. And also there are a lot of people in that shop scene as well. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're still with whoever, or maybe swap perspective for effect. I don't know, is that a good example for you?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that one is a challenge because within the scene, if we were watching this on a stage, of having the busy street, got Charmian who talks with at least 3 different vendors and a pickpocket and someone driving by with a horse and like 2 other things all happening in the same scene. And maybe if we had a full stage, you could have people moving throughout, but within the confines of our ears, we had to figure out, okay, what's the best way to place everyone to create the feeling of the full stage or the full scene when we are limited to a specific panning range? How do we put everybody in there without sounding like it's really overcrowded or everybody's just standing around waiting to say their lines, which is a big challenge when it comes to the number of voices that we have in this series in general. There's just so many characters to try and weave through, which, Katie, you do a great job of it. There's a lot of people in here to juggle, not gonna lie.
I mean, this is where the design element of sound design starts to come in, because obviously, funnily enough, that scene that we're talking about, the script and the director's notes were asking for Charmin in the middle and the road on this side and the shops on that side. And as I was designing, it became really clear that wasn't going to work out because it was going to be very like left heavy and no one was really going to be able to visualize. So you have to use a little bit of artistic license and say, look, we need the pickpocket to be coming from the right so that the shopkeeper can come from the left. And this horse and cart needs to go past at this moment, which seems random, but it's actually kind of just generating a little bit of that kind of panoramic stereo feel to make sure that the audience understand that they're in this big, busy space. And there's, you know, there's quite a lot of kind of careful placement in this work in order to kind of build the cues one by one at a rate that the brain can take them in and build that picture. Going back to what Laurie was saying about walking into the shop, funnily enough, this is coming out just after this episode, but actually I've just finished designing this episode. As it said,
yeah, that was really fortuitous, actually.
It was, yeah. So we get more into sort of like all the fiddly bits of working in digital audio now, which it's wonderful that we got. Like, I would not want to do this like with traditional analog gear. But you then have to use what is automation, basically. You can automate different parameters in the audio to try and generate that sense of travel. So like in that case, as Charmian walks into the shop, you've got sort of people going past her ears left and right to sort of indicate the travel. Because we're with her, we can't kind of pan her own footsteps to show that she's moving in this direction or that direction. And then as she moves into the shop, so one parameter will be like the background sound gets a little bit more muffled. So slightly quieter, and some of those high frequencies come off because they would be blocked, or they'd like the high frequencies don't travel as far, you know. So, and then we'd introduce the reverb of the shop bit by bit as she travels, so that we can tell from how she's speaking as she walks that she's entering into a different space. And, you know, we'd do the same with the shopkeeper. The padding of the shopkeeper herself, she walks off to the left to show that she's moving in that space and to help to kind of give a picture of the space. So you're kind of, you're painting the space really with, you know, the sounds and the sort of adaptation of the sound that you have available to you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to think about, how am I going to do that? What can I put in there which is going to show that? You know, it might not actually be in the script. It might not be something the writer really thought about.
Mm.
But if they want you to get the audience visualising this thing, you have to think, okay, well, like, what, like, semiotic convention from sound, or, like, what kind of broad camera angle type sound can I put in?
What did you just say, semiotic convention from sound? What does that mean?
Yeah, sorry, that was
You didn't expect to get a very academic editing talk, did you?
No, I'm delighted.
Sorry, it's because I was like reading, like, I was like rereading all the stuff that I wrote last year in preparation for this, and now my head's full of it, and I'm just dumping it on you.
No, this is great. I'm like, secretly, this episode is me just like getting an editing lesson, and I'm really happy about that.
I'm sure we talked about this in the C's one, actually, but like the example I think we gave then was like, here a seagull, you're by the sea. So it's like signposting.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then it doesn't even stop at getting into the shop, because as soon as Katie has gotten Charmian into the shop, we followed that character in. Now we have to figure out where Charmian ends up to make room for the two guards that will come in behind Charmian, and then Quintus coming in, as well as where the shopkeep's going to both go and talk to Charmian and then wander off somewhere to do busy work and then come back. It's like, it's so
totally so busy.
I remember editing that vocal cut, and like, because the things that I'm thinking about when I'm editing are like just timing of like the dialogue and things like that, and especially with, because I think that we're in that shop for a couple of scenes, and especially in the later scene where all the business happens.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no point in me timing this at all, because it's all going to depend on the soundscaping, because there's going to be so much business over it. You're going to need to move it. So I was like, I'm just going to put them in there relatively tidily and move on.
But the dialogue editing will still give me clues, like, because I know the directors approve what you've done. So like how you've chosen to pace it and stuff will give me clues about how long it takes to get to this place, and, you know, like how somebody's feeling about being in this place, and all these kinds of bits of information, which I also need in order to like build on that to generate the mood of the place. Going back to the shop, listeners, if you have not yet listened to episode 5, I have not yet finished figuring this out.
Oh.
So you can go and pay attention to what happened. Currently, I appear to have two doors in my shop, because it's the only way I could figure out how to do it. And it might end up a two-door shop. I don't know yet. I need to get back in and work out if there's another padding solution I can think of.
As in two entrances from the street, you mean?
Yeah, because like Murder chases the soldiers out one way, and then Quintus comes in the other way at the moment. And otherwise, they just all like walk into each other. I don't know. So this is work in progress. So see if you can figure out what we decided in the end. Because I can't tell you what it is right now.
It's Schrodinger. Shop, I love it.
It is Schrodinger's shop, yeah. Or maybe I bring in Quintus sooner, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
This is excellent. The timing of recording this is fantastic.
Another thing I was going to say is, because this specifically is a comedy, that is another layer of perspective that we're considering, is that what sounds funniest. And perspective choices often have a big impact on that as well. And the example that I'm thinking of at the moment is from episode 3. Actually, there are two examples in episode 3. Like, one is when, spoilers, obviously, I'm assuming you've listened to it, when Lepidus jumps off the ship.
Oh, gosh. What a moment.
We considered doing this two ways. One was Lepidus jumps, and if you've heard his scream, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, he goes, and one that was suggested by Imani was like, we just fade it out, so we don't, and then I think it gets cut off by the splash. But what was in the script was actually like, Lepidus scream finishes, then there's a pause, then there's a splash. And that turned out to be much funnier. So that's what I ended up doing in the end.
Oh, I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, it's good. You should listen. It's very funny. Yeah. The other one is right at the very end of the episode when Mark goes in to rescue Lepidus. And again, in the script, it was written like, we would be standing by the side of the harbour and we would watch Mark go. And we'd sort of hear his footsteps go off into the distance and we'd hear people commenting on it. And we'd hear, like, in semi-distance, what's going on. I didn't read the script because I'm a bad, bad, naughty sound designer. So I stayed with Mark and I ran with him. I had like the passersby's comments actually travel past his ears, so you knew he was running. And then I had him jump into the harbour and like actually we heard the emotion of the water, so everything got muffled and we heard the underwater sounds. The main reason I wanted to do this because I really wanted to have a goose swim past him once he was going back because it was just, I found the most hilarious goose and I really wanted it to be the star.
Oh, good, because I did hear that goose. I'm like, oh, that's fun.
Right. He's such a funny goose. I love just wanted So we actually have this kind of moment where he's underwater and like the crowd watching are sort of, you hear them through the water, you know, and then he swims back and we're very close to Mark's, which I think is how Imani wanted it as well, actually.
Oh, so this is what ended up staying, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So yeah, Imani and I decided to slightly differ from what the writer had envisaged there. And I think it was funnier for that because the sound of Cleopatra up on the quay, you're like slightly distant. Yeah. And the people talking about it, all from the point of view, like with Lepidus right next to our ears, just going,
yeah,
oh, like that. It was just funnier. And perspective, for some reason, made that a lot more kind of comic. Mm-hmm. Well, not a lot more, but I think a little bit more comic.
It would have played so much differently if you had to watch all of it from the dock, because just Lepidus's like comedic babbling that was happening out on the sea.
Andy's comedic babbling has come up a lot in a lot of these episodes because it's fantastic.
He does the best comedic babbling. Oh, in all hail.
It's heartbreaking to like cut any of it, but you have to at a point.
But being out in the sea, being rescued, watching it from the dock, it would have killed some of that energy because it wouldn't have been as clear. Mm. It would have been muffled a little more because of distance, and it would have been covered up by the sounds of Mark swimming, you know, dragging Lepidus back to the dock, of the motion through the water, all of that. So while we would have heard it, we wouldn't have heard it as intimately. So it was really smart to have dove into the water.
I never know what that past participant is. Is it dove? I don't know.
Jumped into the water.
I jumped in the water.
That's such a great example because, yeah, that, I mean, when I was editing the vocals on that, like, that hadn't occurred to me really who we were going to stay with, and that's such a clear difference there of like being on the dock watching it and then the immediacy of being with Mark and being in the middle of it. Ooh, this is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm quite a big first person. I like to do things in the first person quite a lot, so that's always where I go first. I like the vulnerability of it, and I like how you can sort of make things sound funnier or more vulnerable or more shocking by kind of having them kind of hit you in the face like you're actually seeing them, you know.
It's more immediate, I guess, isn't it? You experience it as the listener.
Yeah. I mean, when we did the research, we kind of found that that kind of immersion as though you're in the first person does seem to generate more visualization, regardless of the sounds that you're hearing.
I will say that that's probably where Katie gets really frustrated with me, with the perspective thing, because usually when it gets to mastering, I tend to, sometimes that first perspective means that like things get kind of squished down a little bit, or the panning gets squished down a little bit, or in the middle, and I will want to like kind of, I think this happened like maybe episode one or two, like move everybody out a little bit to make room for the listener. My ears are very much tuned to like having a space at the table, so I sometimes will go back to Katie and be like, we need to make a hole because sometimes it's just a weird layout situation of, with the number of people that we have to figure out where the listener can live in the space as they are falling around a character. And with the number of people that we have, it's always like a really big challenge to figure out where that comfortable spot is. It's a weird space to deal with, putting everybody in that audio space and getting them to fit.
So if you've got a big group scene where there are, like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 of the main characters in one scene, how do you go about deciding where the audience is? Like, whose perspective we're looking at it from? If we're in someone's head or if they're just standing as an audience member in the corner watching it all?
Yeah, sometimes it's clear because we know whose sympathies are we're. But I seem to not be able to talk about sympathies without getting the grammar wrong today. We know where our sympathies lie. There we go, done it, yeah. So sometimes that's really clear-cut. Usually when we're with Charmy and we're on her side, for example. Sometimes it's not at all clear-cut. There are some scenes in Rome where pretty much everyone has their agenda and none of them are as good as they ought to be anyway. You know, it's particularly when you've got the triumvirate.
Yeah.
So in that case, Imani has gone through and decided who she wants to be with.
Ah, right.
Occasionally, when it's come to sound design, yeah, and this has happened like twice so far in 5 episodes. Well, the 3 episodes that I've done, I didn't do the first 2. And I've sort of put it in there and I thought, well, I mean, I could see that we want the audience to be sort of experiencing it through these this person's eyes, but that does also mean that the sound is wonky, for example. Like a really bog standard sort of boring technical thing that it's just uncomfortable to listen to audio for a prolonged amount of time. You've got more going on one side than the other. It just feels uncomfortable.
Just to clarify, just in case someone's listening and they're not sure what you mean when you say that, because I don't know, have we used the word panning very much yet? So like, if you're talking about someone being on one side or another, you can make it so someone comes through, like if you're wearing headphones, through the left headphone more than the right headphone is my very, very basic, rough understanding of
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah. You weight the sound so it's a bit louder one side than the other, yeah.
I'm sure everyone knows that, but just in case there was someone thinking, I'm not really sure what you mean there.
Yeah, I mean, it is mostly done through panning, I think, but it's also done through other parameters as well. Mm. So if you've got somebody going through the dead centre and we're supposed to be hearing with them, then you would also maybe make some of the characters a little stand a tiny bit further away using equalization and like changing how much of the reverb is on their voice and making them a bit quieter potentially.
Yeah.
But it is mostly the padding that would determine that. But yeah, sometimes when you've got 6 people in a scene and you know, the director said, okay, I want it to be from this person's point of view, I've still had to put them slightly to the left or slightly to the right just to balance it out. Yeah, so there can be boring reasons to slightly dilute that effect, I suppose.
I mean, that sounds to me like quite an interesting balance to strike there. Like, we want to make clear we're with this person, but also if this person is at, for reasons unknown, the extreme left of a room, we don't want everything else to be happening on the right because that's just going to sound weird.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like quite a challenge, actually, to balance that. Is it a case of trial and error?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you have to hear it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think you hear something in your head and you think it's going to be good, then you hear it and you think, ooh, that's confusing.
Sometimes it comes down to the tone of the voices that you've got in the scene. If you have all of the lower voices on one side of the space versus the other, it can feel off balance just by nature of lower voices feel heavier, or they feel lower in like as terms of height compared to higher voices. So our ears do that little weird misrepresentation when they hear that change in tone, and it can lead to that off balance feeling. We try to use that effect to trick the ear in perspective a lot, bouncing off of that a little bit. Like, Katie's used this effect very effectively a few times in the scene in the Senate House. We have various voices from the senators all in the space, and their voices have been EQ'd and shifted slightly so that they sound like they're at a distance. They sound like they're stacked around the room as opposed to like being right next to you on the left or the right. And some of that's been done with EQ, changing a little bit of the high end or the low end accordingly to change the feel of that voice. Some with panning rotation to kind of stop the voice from sounding like it's right in front of you, but kind of like muffles it a little bit by being off phase slightly so that it sounds...
You mean phase rotation? Yeah,
phase, yeah. Sorry, I said that wrong. Yeah, phase rotation.
I'm looking so sadly at the length of time that we've been recording because we're going to have to wrap this up, and I just want to keep talking about it because... maybe I'm biased, but I'm finding this really, really interesting. And it is just, I'm learning a lot and I want to learn about this. One of my questions was, why is perspective important? And we have just been talking about that the whole time, really. It's for clarity and making the space feel real, I guess, making it.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, storytelling, mm-hmm. perspective is storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. You need all those cues to get the story across. Simple as that. Yeah.
It's all about the story. It's the purity of the story.
What a bunch of lovies we sound right now.
I know, I love it. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining me and teaching me. I'm so sad that we have to wrap this up right now. Maybe maybe we can get you back for another chat, a part two, perspective, take two, I don't know, something like that. Yeah, that's it. So audience, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you continue to enjoy the series. And I'm going to say goodbye and I'll be back next week. And Katie and Kathy, would you like to say goodbye as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Backstage at Cry Havoc is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Amani Zardot, produced by Laurie Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. This episode was edited by Laurie Ann Davis and Catherine Brunella. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.